Welcome to Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. I'm Kate Burdett. Now that recreational marijuana is legal in Ohio, some people have questions about how to get started using it. I'll speak with a cannabis entrepreneur and expert who has tips for those who are curious but inexperienced with the drug. And Jay Fox will talk with someone about the importance of vaccines. Plus, Doug Petcash of Face the State will have a look at state politics. First up on Columbus Perspective, Holly Teagarden. She is a cannabis entrepreneur, and we're going to learn more about what that means. But as the state of Ohio has kind of begun to settle in to legal recreational adult use marijuana, a lot of people seem to have questions, concerns, even fears. And I feel like Holly is a great voice in this conversation to maybe give us some more information. Holly, thank you so much for joining us on Columbus Perspective.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, first off, how does one become a cannabis entrepreneur?
Great question. So 5 years ago, I got into the cannabis industry. I had in the past had been a C-level executive in marketing. So that's like not the typical path of entrepreneurship when it comes to cannabis. But I found myself kind of burnt out and looking for ways to heal that didn't need to be like popping a pill like Xanax, what have you. And so I started to do a lot of research and came across CBD. At that point, the Farm Bill was passed in 2018. So it was around that time. And other supplements like L-theanine, 5-HTP, and really started to like change my perspective of my everyday life and the importance of using plant medicine. As the kind of years unfolded and I started to learn more about the THC side, I started to realize that all of the stereotypes that were out there for THC really were so outdated. THC is like so sophisticated. I just felt after like learning more, dabbling more, that I felt really led to help as many women as possible kind of to embrace this different lifestyle.
So Holly, you, I know have had a hemp clothing line, right?
Yeah, I have like a hemp dispensary. Okay. That's currently online. And then I have a clothing line. Again, like both of those things are really like changing the stereotypes of like the typical, I hate to use the word stoner kind of persona that's out there, and making it more like an everyday kind of, you know, that anybody could use or wear. And then I started to dig in and look at retreats.
And you mentioned that your focus in your entrepreneurship has been women and kind of helping women come to this new product and understand it better and find how it can be beneficial in their lives. So explain your retreats and how you do those. And these are retreats that you hold in states that have legal recreational adult use marijuana, right?
That is correct. I'm here speaking to you in the state of PA, and I can't have any of my retreats here in the state. I'm so excited about having Ohio come on board, and we will definitely have those next year. But for me, the retreats, well, I started them because I was actually looking for a retreat for myself to go to. I use marijuana, THC in a micro dose, very small doses. And the retreats that I was finding were less about like wellness and health and more about like how much we can party and really exploiting the whole partying idea. And so I'm like, you know what? I feel like there is an opportunity for more, like, I hate to say it, more mature audience. I'm going to be 51, but you know, it is what it is. A more mature audience that really is looking at trying a new way of life that's healthy. And, you know, taking into plant medicine as an alternative to alcohol.
And that's a really interesting point that you make, because I think that we have all seen over the years, and especially now, media coverage of the advent of
legal recreational marijuana in Ohio has really kind of relied on some old stereotypes, at least in visual representations at times. And it really is important to remember that it's not like that. It's not like you're going to a dark corner or an alley to slip somebody some cash and get a little baggie. These products that are in Ohio dispensaries are Ohio made. They are made under strict regulations, as in other states that have legal dispensaries.
Even with the go back to the retreat, I mean, what people don't realize is that cannabis can truly change our moods based on whatever we're wanting to feel at that moment. So, you know, there are strains out there that can give you energy, which I think is like the biggest misnomer that people just think you're just going to be couch locked. But in fact, you know, there are products out there that can give you energy, creativity, mood boosts. And then maybe you're dealing with like something like fibromyalgia or other kind of pain ailments. There are strains specifically for you. So, you know, for me, it's about, you know, that kind of a la carte, like what are we wanting to achieve and figuring out what's the best product for that.
And so in that spirit, you developed this retreat concept that I think is so interesting. And you mentioned the age thing. Your retreats are for women only and women who are 30 years or older, correct?
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, I do have younger people come. I just feel very, because I'm kind of that age, I just feel like we need to have space for women who are kind of like looking at their lives and saying, okay, how can, I've done it a certain way, you know, for 10 years, 20 years, how can I make the next 20 different?
If someone is interested in your retreat, do they need to have experience using cannabis or are newbies welcome?
Oh my gosh, I love having newbies. It's just so the answer is no, anybody can come. I have had, I would say, I'm just thinking percentage wise, I would say 60% are canna curious or newbies, and canna curious meaning like I used it in college or high school and haven't done it since then. And so for those people, you know, we have education during the retreat. And as I was referring to my own kind of usage with the microdose, that is taking extremely small dose of like 2 milligrams or 5 milligrams, where you just sort of feel the effects, but you're never like incoherent, or it's just kind of like riding the wave, so to speak.
And on the retreat, people get to actually sample some cannabis products.
Yeah. So one of the cool things about the retreat that I've developed is it's completely curated, meaning if you've ever gone to a like a wine pairing, they're like, you're eating a piece of steak. This is the type of red wine or white wine that you should drink. The same is done at our retreat. So let's just say one of the activities is a sound bath at night. This is the pairing that we want you to have. Let's just say it's coloring or vision boards in the morning. This is the cannabis that we're suggesting. So the newbie, the canna curious, or even the person who is like, you know, an expert at cannabis, we take the brain work out of it and we kind of guide you on a journey with this kind of microdosing based on the moods that we want you to achieve based on what we're doing with the mindset. This is a long one, that you're able to take what you learn and apply it to your everyday life. So whether you're, you know, you're getting up and doing something or you're trying to go to bed, you can take what you've learned and the products that you've tried and the different ways to consume and say, okay, I like drinking seltzers. It made me feel this way. I'm going to do that at home. Or I really like the strain that's high in myrcene. I'm going to start buying things like that. It just arms women, you know, to make smarter decisions when it comes to cannabis.
I really like the comparison you made, the dinner with a wine pairing. What you're doing here on your retreats and this activity pairs really well with this strain, with this gummy, with this tincture, whatever. And there's so many different products and so many different ways to consume THC. You know, that leaves kind of the door wide open for opportunities for people that, oh, I don't really want to smoke. You don't have to.
Right.
There's edibles, or I mean, there's even for people that are dealing with pain, there's transdermal patches I've seen and things like that. So it really is, like you've mentioned, plant medicine. And certainly that doesn't mean people can't party and have a good time.
But absolutely.
In this case, and in your application, it really is about wellness for women. And that's so interesting. Holly Teagarden is a cannabis entrepreneur. She's based in Pennsylvania, but all over the country, in states where recreational marijuana is legal, she puts on retreats for women that are focused on wellness and complemented by cannabis products. It's a really interesting concept. And Holly has years of experience having come out of corporate America, looking for a way to kind of help with her stress management and other things like that. That's how you came upon plant medicine, as you said, Holly. What would be the best piece of advice you think you could give to someone who here in Ohio maybe says, okay, it's legal. I tried it in college. I wasn't sure what was going on, but what should someone go into a dispensary now and look for, or what questions are good to ask?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I will say dispensaries can be extremely overwhelming. So what I would do for somebody starting out, I would use an app like Leafly. So Leafly is great because you can say, you know what, I want to have the giggles on Friday night, right? I want to be giggly. I don't want to drink, but I want to have that kind of effect. And what Leafly will do is say, okay, you're currently in Columbus. The closest dispensary is this one, and they carry this for that effect. And so that arms you before going into the dispensary. Okay, these are the types of products that I want to look at. Then once you get there, I will say most of the time, bud tenders. So that's what the customer rep is called, a bud tender.
To note here that bud tenders have to have special training, right?
Correct.
They're not just working a part-time job. They've gone through a training process. They've achieved a certificate that says they know what they're doing.
Exactly. So what I'm a big fan of like arming myself beforehand and then going there and talking to the bud tender and being like, hey, I saw on Leafly that these were the things that were recommended. What do you think? And then kind of, you know, going from there. And most of all, I would just say start small doses to kind of figure out like what's the perfect amount for you.
I think that word microdosing, we hear it a lot now, especially in terms of THC and other, substances that are legal in other states like psilocybin. People talk a lot about microdosing for health. Some people, it really helps them get through their day to be able to microdose, whether they're dealing with anxiety or PTSD or any number of things, chronic pain.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think when we look at, you know, having these bad effects, when I've talked to people like, oh, I've had a terrible effect, most of the time it's because they've taken too much. And so listen, there is no harm in trying something and saying, okay, I really didn't feel anything, and I'm going to take a little bit more the next time. And it really also comes down to how you consume. So like seltzers, edibles, those take a little bit longer. And so often that'll catch you in a situation where you don't feel it. And then it finally hits you because those things have to go through your digestional tract. Mm-hmm. So they do take a little longer to activate. So you're talking about like 45 minutes to an hour. You got to give it a little bit of time versus, you know what, Holly, I'm dealing with a panic attack. I need an instant relief. That would be something where you're smoking, where it goes to your lungs and bloodstream immediately. So I also think one of the things to think about when you are purchasing is like, okay, do I need something that takes a little long for me to feel the effects, but has that longevity, like 4 to 6 hours? Or am I dealing with like a panic attack or something like fast acting that I need that immediate relief?
Holly, I feel like we could go on for hours with your breadth of knowledge, but
honestly, gosh, I love it.
you are a wealth of knowledge for us. Now, you mentioned that one app. It's Leafly?
Yes. Love Leafly.
Okay.
I still use it, honestly. It has blog posts. It has all the strains. And then it also goes, it's tied to dispensaries. So you know what your local dispensary has before you even go there.
And for those of us Googling, that's L-E-A-F-L-Y.
Exactly.
Excellent. Excellent. And where can we find you online, Holly?
Probably the best way is Instagram. I manage all of my channels, but the Mood RX Treats is probably the best way to find me on Insta.
And that is the account for your cannabis retreat
business.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any idea of what part of 2025 you may be in Ohio yet?
Oh, I don't know. No? I might have to. I love Ohio. I don't know yet. I will say I'll know probably in the next month or two. I spent a lot of time on Airbnb trying to find the right place for each one.
And you use kind of a higher end Airbnb. You incorporate a gourmet chef into these retreats.
Yes.
It is a very, as the kids like to say, bougie kind of experience for women.
It's a little bouge. It is a little bouge. Yeah, I do have a chef. It is very much an all-inclusive. And I also bring a wellness expert with me. I'm hoping I will be able to launch the dates in a month or two for next year. But Ohio 100% will be in there.
Excellent. Well, Mood RX Treats is the Instagram handle you want to look for, and you can find Holly there. Is there anything else we didn't get to talk about that you wanted to make sure you mentioned today?
Oh my gosh, I think that's it. I'm so excited to like help women, honestly, and get the word out about it. So thank you.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's Jay Fox.
There are almost 1 million residents here in Columbus. Vaccines are not just for children and teens. They are a lifelong shield protecting from a host of diseases people are exposed to throughout our lives. However, many individuals still have questions about which vaccine is right for them. Embracing a lifelong approach to vaccination is not only beneficial for our health, but also for the well-being of those around us. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, vaccines help create protective antibodies that fight infections. Routine vaccinations such as MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella, and Tdap, tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis are known to prevent around 4 million deaths annually. However, only 1 in 5 adults are up to date on their vaccines, highlighting a critical gap in public health awareness and readiness. The question here in Columbus, of that 20%, are you up to date? Kelsey Goderwis is a pharmacy leader at Kroger Health in Cincinnati. She joins us now. Kelsey, tell us about the current vaccination rates and how rates have changed in the last 10 years.
Good morning, Jay. Thank you so much for having me. As we've seen, before the pandemic, we had really, really steady vaccination rates in the United States for well over a decade. Since the pandemic, that unfortunately has fallen off, and there are a multitude of reasons for that. Obviously, we were working at home. Kiddos were going to school online at their house. So, you know, healthcare was scary at that point in time, and people didn't want to go to the doctor's office unless they absolutely had to. So we saw those vaccination rates fall off, and they just have not rebounded since then.
How do we know which vaccines are recommended throughout our lives? I mean, obviously, we hear a lot about getting your COVID updates because of new variants, but what about the rest of the vaccines?
Right. Well, it's our job in the healthcare community as your pharmacist to make sure that you are aware of all the options of vaccines available to you. We follow CDC guidelines to make sure that you are up to date on all of your vaccines from childhood through adulthood, and we can do anything to get you caught up if you are behind. And there are different instances where certain people are indicated for one vaccine versus another person, and as a pharmacist, it's our job to know all of that, and your pharmacist is always accessible to you, especially at Kroger Health. We will go over anything that you have questions about and make sure that you get caught up as quickly as you can.
How do you know what you're missing?
So the pharmacist can always collaborate with your healthcare providers that you've seen in the past. We can use the statewide registry for vaccines, and we can just look at what you have record of in potentially your MyChart account or something along those lines to make sure that if you are missing something that is indicated for your age and your health risk factors, we can get you caught up and answer the questions that you have on vaccines for shingles or Tdap or anything else coming down the line in the future.
So I'm in my mid-50s, and my doctor has said this year I need a flu shot, I need the pneumonia shot, and I need the shingle shot, and I need to update my COVID vaccination. Can I do all of that at once, or do I have to stagger those?
You absolutely can do them all at once, Jay. It's actually been proven in studies that the more vaccines you get at the same time, the more effective they are, because it just helps our immune system boost itself even better. And so what vaccines do is they allow our bodies to create those antibodies, and the more we introduce to them at one time, the more active our immune system will be. And so you can definitely get all four vaccines in one stop to help save yourself some time and make sure that you are fully covered against all of those diseases.
Is there any pushback about going to a drugstore or a grocery store to get vaccination shots?
I don't think that there is any pushback anymore, because we have become so accessible in the healthcare realm as pharmacists in the grocery store, because people are going to go grocery shopping, you know, at least once a week anyway. So why not make it more convenient for yourself instead of having to go sit in an office to wait for a doctor and sit in a waiting room with a bunch of sick people, when you can just walk up to the counter at Kroger and be seen and in and out within 15 minutes.
One of the most upsetting things about the flu vaccine is getting what you think is the flu after you've had the vaccine. How often does that occur, and what can you do to get prepared for that?
So thankfully, in today's realm, the flu vaccine is not a live vaccine, so it does not contain a live virus. So you're not actually going to be able to get the flu from the flu vaccine. That does not mean that you could not have had the flu at the time of becoming vaccinated, because vaccines do take about 2 weeks to actually fully work in the immune system. Some people might experience some minimal side effects like fatigue, headache, drowsiness for about 24 hours after a vaccine, but that's really, really temporary and is definitely actually a good sign that your immune system is recognizing that there is something going on. And then if the flu does hit you later in the season, your body knows how to mount up that defense against it and prevent you from getting really sick.
So after I get these four or five vaccinations, how long do I have to wait before I can leave the store?
We generally want you to stay at least 15 minutes just to make sure you don't have any adverse effects, such as an allergy, just because sometimes when you have something that's brand new to your body for the first time, you can have a reaction to it. But our job is to monitor you, make sure that there's no issues, and then after 15 minutes, you can be on your way out the door and back to your routine.
Do I get a lollipop?
If you want a lollipop, Jay, I will go find you a lollipop. You also get a really cool Kroger Band-Aid.
That would be great. So what is the best way for individuals to get information and ask vaccine questions?
So anybody anywhere can go to kroger.com/health. And on that website, you can find information on all of our services related to health, nutrition, vaccines, and anything related to our pharmacies and clinics. So anybody can visit that site, or they can call their local pharmacy or stop by and just talk to the pharmacist there, and we will be more than happy to give you any information you need on anything related to your health care.
And that also includes learning more and where you can receive your vaccines?
Absolutely. Our online portal allows you to make appointments at your local store, and it can also help you determine what vaccines you need based on your age and your risk factors. So that if you don't know where to start, you can always start there. And then when you arrive at the store, we can always make sure that those are the vaccines indicated for you. And additional vaccines may be needed, and we can also recommend those at that time.
Now, let's say I'm one of the unfortunate ones that doesn't have insurance. What kind of cost am I looking at?
So it just really depends on the vaccine. Flu vaccines start at $45, so they are very affordable. That's a lot cheaper than having to be treated for the flu or having a hospitalization for the flu. So we can always start there, and we have the ability to run a lot of vaccines through nationwide discount cards anywhere from the $45 for the flu up to about $300 for other vaccines like RSV and shingles. But that's something that you could always talk to the pharmacist about, and there are other options that we can always, you know, direct patients to make sure that they get their vaccines wherever they can if we cannot be the ones to provide that for them.
So again, pay attention, Columbus. Only 1 in 5 adults are up to date on their vaccines. We're asking if you are. It's not a mandate. It's your choice. But now you know the risks, and now you know how easy it is to get this done. Thanks so much to Kelsey Goderwis from Kroger in Cincinnati. And for Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Now, courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10 TV, here's Doug Petcash from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10 TV.
Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose is now taking new legal action to ban foreign nationals and green card holders from contributing to state ballot campaigns. A U.S. district judge ruled that the new law harms the First Amendment rights of lawful permanent residents. LaRose says he now wants the federal court to either stop the enforcement of the decision while the case is being appealed or allow Ohio to enforce parts of the law the judge finds constitutional. There's no word back yet from the court. Governor Mike DeWine released the findings of his Juvenile Justice Working Group. The group worked for 9 months on recommendations to transform and improve the system.
The nationwide staffing crisis in juvenile justice is significantly impacting the ability of DYS to prevent violence in their facilities. Staffing in behavioral health is also low, so youth are not getting the support that they should be getting.
The governor announced 26 recommendations to fix those problems in the state's juvenile justice system. The top recommendation of the group falls under the premise that smaller is better. The governor says studies show smaller juvenile corrections facilities are safer for the youth and the staff. The plan calls for the Department of Youth Services to close its 3 large facilities and replace them with a total of 12 smaller 36-bed facilities. The state already has nearly $290 million in the capital budget to do this in Cuyahoga County. The governor says they'll ask the legislature for funding to do the same at the 2 other facilities, including the one in Circleville.
Science of brain development shows that young brains do not respond well to adult-style incarceration. So large juvenile justice facilities can actually be a barrier to rehabilitation.
The state also has 11 community corrections facilities, or CCFs, around the state, but none in the biggest counties of Franklin, Hamilton, and Cuyahoga. The governor says the Department of Youth Services should establish CCFs in those counties. Another suggestion includes raising the minimum age kids can be admitted to the Department of Youth Services in those detention facilities from 10 years old to 14. You can find the full report with the 26 recommendations in this story on 10TV.com. And the recommendations come as there are more kids behind bars in Franklin County now than ever before. 10TV's Kevin Landers breaks down the numbers and explains how much juvenile crime is costing you as a taxpayer.
Everybody's bailing out.
Stolen cars, murder, aggravated robbery. They are crimes from a small fraction of Franklin County juveniles. And it's inside courtrooms like this where they face judges like Lachelle Stroud.
I don't tolerate disrespect in my courtroom.
Judge Stroud oversees the juvenile court.
Don't come in my courtroom saying I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's unacceptable.
A court seen by some as soft on crime.
There are many people in this community, including those in law enforcement, who think the juvenile court system is soft on crime. What is your response?
I absolutely disagree that we are soft on crime.
10TV pulled the numbers, and they may surprise you. Every year since 2020, Franklin County juvenile judges sent more children to the Department of Youth Services, nearly 55% more kids to DYS from 2022 to 2023. And there are more kids in juvenile detention than ever before.
We have more juveniles in the Juvenile Intervention Center today than we did 5 years ago, over twice as many.
Juveniles too violent for juvenile detention are sent here to state lockup or the Department of Youth Services. Here, a lack of staff to educate, treat, and protect teens and staff from one another is costing taxpayers millions of dollars.
Overtime for corrections in 2023 was nearly $5 million. This year, that figure went over the $5 million mark. Incentives to pay for people to work weekends or to retain employees jumped from just under 400,000 to more than 600,000 this year.
I think it's close to $700, if not more, a night to be in the state facility.
While it's easy for one to think that juvenile crime is on the rise, the statistics show the so-called youth crime wave isn't a wave at all. Even so, the cost to incarcerate youth criminals is going up, and that's a cost we all share. Kevin Landers, 10TV News.
To watch Kevin's full story, which includes how many kids are being tried as adults, look for this story on our free news app or on 10TV.com. An Ohio State senator is looking to legalize internet casino gaming, known as iGaming. The introduced bill requires the commission in charge to contract with casinos. The commission would also select vendors and determine which games will be offered. The new revenue stream could generate as much as $1 billion a year for the state and help level the playing field for small businesses.
Last month, former President Donald Trump's plane was diverted from Bozeman, Montana, and verified debunked claims it was because he owed the city money. It was actually because the plane had mechanical issues. Now, this post with more than 4 million views shows an MSNBC graphic that claims Trump owes millions to cities for expenses like security, traffic control, and equipment incurred from his rallies. Multiple Verify viewers reached out asking if that's true. So, let's verify. Our sources are the Center for Public Integrity and representatives from some of the cities named in the graphic. The graphic is 5 years old and refers to expenses from Trump's last presidential campaign. We reached out to the 13 cities listed in the image to ask about the bills. Six told us Trump still has an outstanding balance. Four said he does not, and three didn't respond to us. So, yes, Trump does have unpaid bills in multiple cities. However, it's not clear that his campaign is legally required to pay many of these bills. The Center for Public Integrity says in some cases, there weren't any signed contracts with the campaign, which makes the bills difficult to collect. We also found Trump isn't the only campaign with unpaid bills. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton still have outstanding invoices from 2016. With your Verify, I'm Brandon Lewis.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst and cancer champion Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. Join our team to help fund game-changing research that saves lives. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over the odds. V is for victory over health disparities, victory over setbacks, victory over the unknown. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate to the V Foundation to join our team and help save lives.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind. It cannot touch my heart. And it cannot touch my soul.
100% of donations fund game-changing cancer research. Donate now to the V Foundation at V.org.
Columbus Perspective is a public affairs presentation of WBNS Radio. The opinions expressed on this program are those of its guests and do not necessarily reflect those of WBNS Radio, its staff, management, or sponsors.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's more from Face the State. Courtesy of 10TV.
Parents out there know how expensive it is to have and raise a child. A new bill in the Ohio House aims to give families and expectant moms some help with that through a tax break before their baby is even born. It's called the STORC Act, which stands for Strategic Tax Options for Raising Kids. It would allow families to claim children as dependents on their state income tax returns in the year they are conceived rather than the year they are born. I talked with the bill's sponsor about why he thinks the child tax credit is important, and a couple new moms who say it would have been helpful for them.
It's baby lap time at the Columbus Metropolitan Library's Reynoldsburg branch. Babies bouncing, toddlers toddling, moms taking a minute to do the math for us.
We had to start from scratch. We had to buy all the furniture, like cribs,
little swaddle blankets,
a changing table, like baby gates.
And it's mandatory that you have a car seat. to leave the hospital, and those are very expensive as well.
Danessa Smith's baby girl Nova is just 7 weeks old and sleepy. Teresa Coulter's little Lewis is 11 months and on the move. These moms know well how expensive having and preparing for a baby is.
Those tiny little things that you wouldn't really think about that you use in your everyday life that you need to get really miniature stuff for a baby.
With him being the first, I really didn't know what I was doing, what I needed.
You don't wait till the day that baby's born to start spending money.
That's why Republican State Representative Gary Click says he introduced the Stork Act to give parents a small tax break. It would allow families to claim children as dependents on their state income tax returns in the year they are conceived rather than the year they are born. He says the $1,200 deduction would translate to a tax savings of about $60. It would apply to all families and expectant moms, but Click says it would be especially important for lower income families.
The working poor really deserve that extra, $50-$60 that they're going to get from this tax deduction to help them as they start their new family or as they grow their family.
Click is pro-life and was against the abortion rights constitutional amendment, but he says the Stork Act is not about undercutting the rights secured by that amendment or defining an embryo or fetus as a person.
I wish it was that easy because I do support personhood, but it doesn't work that way. I don't have the power to do that. I admit I lost. My side lost. But now let's move on to something that can help everyone.
Mary, 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 life is but a dream.
The bill couldn't help these new moms, but Coulter says an earlier tax break would have been nice.
It would have been very helpful just to kind of soften the blow, like some of those bigger purchases.
Now, right now, also, miscarriages are not addressed in the bill. Representative Click says that issue will be clarified in the legislation. Now, because of the limited time left in this legislative session, Click says he'll likely have to reintroduce a new bill in the next General Assembly after the new year. Click says he doesn't believe the state should penalize families experiencing such a traumatic loss after they likely have had expenses preparing for the baby's arrival.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When you take a walk around your neighborhood, and notice all the things that make it feel like home. Like all the houses lined neatly together in a row. Or your neighbor, Miss Rita, who always waves at you when you drive down the street. Or that movie theater in the strip mall that might look a little worn down, but has the best popcorn you've ever tasted. One thing might be a little harder to notice, because somewhere tucked in that neat row of houses is hunger. It could be your next door neighbor, or your coworker, or your daughter's friend from school, because over 30 million Americans don't know where their next meal is coming from. Hunger lives in neighborhoods all around us, but it doesn't have to. Together, we can provide 1 billion meals by 2030, because everyone should be welcome at the table. Learn more at nourishingneighbors.com. Let's break the cycle of hunger together.
One. Dangers rarely lie out in the open, so no matter where you live, it's important to know harmful pests can hide in and around your home.
Here I come!
Rodents and cockroaches are drawn to food waste and garbage.
I know you're out here.
Ticks lurk in tall grasses, and mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water.
I can hear you.
Rodents, ticks, and mosquitoes can all spread dangerous diseases.
I gotcha!
Seek the facts you need at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Now to an effort to give Ohio homeowners and renters some tax relief as high property taxes keep going up. Bipartisan bills in the Ohio House and Senate would give eligible homeowners an income tax credit or rebate if their property taxes are more than 5% of their income. It would also apply to renters for the portion of their rent attributable to property taxes. The primary sponsors of the House version say Ohio needs property tax relief now.
our property taxes are way too high for way too many people.
That's why Democratic State Representative Dunny Isaacson introduced House Bill 645 along with Republican Representative Thomas Hall. Isaacson says the measure could potentially help hundreds of thousands of Ohioans.
Not only are property taxpayers, homeowners, getting relief, but also when landlords are passing on the increases to their renters, that their tenants are also getting some relief.
The bill would provide an income tax credit or rebate for homeowners and renters whose property taxes or a portion of their rent are more than 5% of their income. A household making $60,000 or less would be eligible for a credit or rebate up to $1,000. The amount of relief falls as income increases. A household at the highest eligible income level of $100,000 would get a credit or rebate of $200. The Senate companion bill differs in that it would provide credits only for households making up to $60,000.
Any action or activity that the General Assembly can take that is going to allow people to be able to maintain and stay in the neighborhood they want, we're very supportive.
Franklin County Auditor Michael Stinziano oversees the county's property tax assistance program. It provides one-time payments for seniors and those with disabilities struggling to pay property taxes.
We continue to hear that kitchen table issue of not wanting to be property taxed out of their neighborhood.
Representative Isaacson says other states already have similar tax relief measures in place. He says this bill is based on a law in Michigan.
People were being taxed out of their homes yesterday, today, tomorrow. And so we are trying to do more on this issue.
Isaacson says seniors on fixed incomes are most impacted by rising property taxes, and many more would qualify for help under this bill if it passes.
Again, that's Doug Petcash, courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10TV, from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10TV. This has been Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. Heard each Sunday morning at 6 on WBNS 97.1 The Fan and on 1460 AM ESPN Columbus.